Bonsoir, c'est LOL sur Radio Laura 97.5.
Mein Leben. Mein Radio. Radio Laura auf 97,5 MHz. Damit es auch meins bleibt, unterstütze ich es mit einem Jahresbeitrag von 120 Franken. Für Nichtverdienende gibt es die Mitgliedschaft schon ab 60 Franken. Das Postcheckkonto lautet 80-144-03-9. Radio Laura, die Freiheit nehme ich mir.
Na, Herr Meier, wo drückt uns denn der Schuh?
Frau Doktor, mein Radiosender macht mich völlig fertig. Immer dieselbe Musik, den ganzen Tag über diese saublöden Gewinnspiele und dieses sinnlose Gerede. Ich bin völlig am Ende.
Aber das ist doch überhaupt kein Problem.
Mach die Scheiße doch einfach aus. Und Radio Laura an.
Ayo, eine Kikinixa po weekend. The only Filipino radio in Zurich. 97.5. Radio Laura.
Sumisigaw, hustisya at paglaya ng bayang api. Walang katarungan, daang taon. Hawak ng dayuhan, sulong bayan. Tayo'y magwawagi, ating yaman. Laging ipaglaban, lupa lagi. Dagat kabundukan, nasa kamay ng mga dayuhang mapangapigani. Mapagsamantala katipisi, hindi malulugi. Sumulong kabayan, tayo ngayon lalaban. Hubod lakas ang tinig, isisigaw ang sulong.
Di bayan ang hanay, kabilin ang kaaway. Di bayan ang hanay, kabilin ang kaaway.
Sulong bayan, tayo'y magwawagi. Ipaglaban ating karapatan. Hilag at imog, silang at kanluran. Bawat sulok ng bayan nagkakaisang tunay. Ang buong kapuluan tapibisig, hindi malulubig. Bawang sulong bayan'y magwawagi. Sabay-sabay, sigaw ng tagumpay. Lungsod, baryo, eskwela at pabrika, ibubod yan. Sigaw ng kalayaan ng bayang may apoy. Sa diwa at dibdib, kapit-isip, hindi malulubi. Sumulong kabayan, tayo ngayon lalaban. Ubod lakas ang tinig, isisigaw ang sulong.
Sumulong kabayan, tayo ngayon lalaban. 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 Sumulong kabayan, tayo ngayon lalaban.
That was Awit ng Tagumpay from Patatag. Magandang gabi, kayo ay muling nakikinig sa Radyo Pawikan tuwing Merkules ng gabi dito sa Radyo Laura. Good evening, guten Abend, dear listeners. Welcome to tonight's Pawikan program. We have an enlightening interview prepared for you tonight, featuring Rachel of Anak Bayan, Philippines, providing insights into the challenges faced by the youth and students in the Philippines. In the current landscape of the imperialist conflict between the USA and China, we observe a surge in militarization within the Philippines. This unsettling trend is intensifying repression against the Philippine mass movement, constantly resisting feudalism and the US-backed regime. This repression, in turn, leads to a strengthening of the resistance. One organization in this revolutionary movement is Anak Bayan, which was founded in 1998 with the aim of organizing the youth for national democracy. Join us as Rachel takes a deep dive into critical topics such as the conflict between the US and China, the debate on capitalist modernity, the pervasive issues of graft and corruption in the Philippines, economic issues, and the state of the educational system in the Philippines, among many others. So stay tuned for this timely discussion that hopes to clarify current Philippine political and economic issues. As we navigate through the different components of the Anak Bayan interview, we'll also be weaving in Philippine songs of struggle. Rachel is the current Secretary General of Anak Bayan Philippines. Good evening and welcome to Radio Pawikan, Rachel. Can you give us a short context of the impending conflict between the US and China, and how is the Philippines figuring in this conflict?
To further contextualize the Philippine movement, we must first discuss the powers at play in the region, particularly inter-imperialist conflict in the region. So that primarily means the U.S. and China. So in the past years, primarily it has been the U.S., but since 2011, where China was declared formally as the power economic powerhouse in the region, even U.S. acknowledges this because in the documents released by the Pentagon, by the White House, they explicitly say by 2011 that that China is the economic powerhouse. They are the most advanced in terms of technology, agriculture, etc., etc. So from this year onward, they've been crafting different policies, different agreements with regions, with countries in the region. Like what I've mentioned, there have been military alliances, economic partnerships, and alliances that the U.S. has been really working towards for since 2011. Like, for example, strengthening, although this has existed prior to 2011, but the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, the APEC, which this year, actually since December 2022, they've been planning to create the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, something that will be launched in a few days. So in November 12, no, that's a big protest we're also preparing for in the Philippines. The APEC summit will be held from November 12 to 15 in California, wherein they'll be formally launching the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, discussing more agreements between Asia-Pacific nations on how they can further liberalize trade and market in the region, and how they can explicitly counter or challenge the rising Chinese hegemony in the region. So that's a major threat that we're experiencing right now, what China is also trying to challenge with its strengthening of the RCEP, if you've heard of it, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Treaty. So this is a partnership agreement between led by China. So they've crafted this agreement with other Asia-Pacific countries that ultimately aims to liberalize trade. So removing tariffs in the trade of, example, in the Philippines. This is something that farmers have been really against because it will only further sink them into poverty, because more rice imports will come into the Philippines, rendering our local production to be more bankrupt. So because Filipinos will rather opt to buy cheaper imported rice versus, availing the relatively more expensive local rice produced by our own farmers. So if we're looking at those two, the economic basis of the inter-imperialist conflict, both US and China are scoundering for resources, getting the most countries that they can on their side. With the US camp, what's very important to note is them strengthening their alliance with the South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan, all of which are trying to instigate or provoke China. And on the China's camp, well, we have the Philippines and their other alliances. At the forefront, the BRICS alliance, though not just in the Asia-Pacific region, these countries have a big hand in helping China establish their financial hegemony. That's why BRICS is Britain, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So that has a big hand in establishing Chinese hegemony, because the primary purpose of the BRICS alliance is to challenge the US dollar, challenge the IMF drawing rights, so the very core of the US financial hegemony in the world. So that's a big threat to the US, because of course they'd want to maintain their hold in different countries. Something that we've discussed in the workshops of the conference is, for example, in the economy of countries, imperialist economies or imperialist countries like the US use this as a tool of war. By a tool of war, we mean not only just the military-industrial complex, but the use of loans, onerous agreements to maintain their dependency on their countries, which in turn will help them further launch more proxy wars, which the US is doing to the Philippines. Like, for example, today, the Philippines has entered more onerous loans and agreements with the US to further fund its war on the people, war on the revolutionary groups, war on the poor and the basic sectors. So in terms of the economy right now, in the region, we have two camps, the US and China, consolidating their power, not only in the region, but in the world through their different alliances, while at the same time fortifying their military strength in the region. So like in the US, you have these unprecedented military exercises. Like what's very notable this year is that a lot of countries witness or experience their largest military exercise or drills in the country, like Philippines, South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. Just this year, there has been a significant increase in military troops, bases in all of those countries. And in China as well, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, that's their military alliance. That's something that they're also beefing up as well. And if you look into it, there are actually more than 77 countries that are interested in being part of the alliances made by China, because, well, for various reasons, some just don't want to be in the US camp, some want to have their own currency strengthened, etc., etc. But all the same, they are trying to establish their hegemony in the region and in the global scale. So maybe I think that's the gist of the international situation. But to add to that further, what's notable then is the fact that we're also waiting for economic collapse. Like this year, we also witnessed the collapse of three major banks in the US. The Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic Bank, and the Signature Bank, all in this year. And like the second biggest collapse since 2008. And for us on the China side, their production is also slowing down. They also recognize the fact that their revenue, their profit this year has also slowed down. Like China's projection in their economic growth for this year is about 5%, but they only grew by 0.8% in the last quarter. So they're drastically slowing down. They're experiencing the effects of the inflation and intense recession happening all over the world. So, it's about to pop the wars. Not only just because of the military tensions, but the underlying and more foundational fact that the economic crisis cannot be contained anymore. Like it's the intense poverty and unemployment and rising prices are pushing more countries to look for new colonies or neo-colonies to drop their surplus goods. Like something that you also critiqued about the conference, like the fact that people are naming the phenomenon right now as capitalist modernity, we think that's dangerous, because although some recognize imperialism, if you just call it as capitalist modernity, it's just like capitalism in the sense that there's still free market and free trade. We're not recognizing that, in fact, there's already monopoly. We're at the stage of economic redivision and territorial redivision of the world. So that's something that the we plan to even, we actually want to hold those kinds of discussion more, like discussing imperialism, because that's very crucial, though, determining your enemy first. If you look at capitalist modernity as your enemy, I don't even know what it means. The direct effects of these, the economic crisis, the worsening imperialist warmongering in the region, directly in the Philippine setting, is that, like what I mentioned a while ago,
ridden with skewed priorities, red flags, and questionable pork barrel funds. This is how the progressive groups describe this 5.7 trillion pesos, or around 96 billion Swiss francs, proposed Philippine national budget for 2024. The proposed budget for next year represents a 9.5% increase from the 2023 or current budget. Can you explain how this budget process is ongoing under the Marcos Jr. regime?
Is that, like what I mentioned a while ago, for example, right now we're in the course of the budget season. It's November 8th. Budget season right now is way faster than it should be. Usually it lasts at around 2-3 months, but now under Marcos, President Marcos and Vice President Sara Duterte, the budget season deliberation is very fast. They even have this concept called parliamentary courtesy, wherein the budget allotted for the office of the president and vice president are not needed or do not have to be subject to question or deliberation anymore. Like Congress just passes it without even determining what are the programs that these billions of pesos will go to. So that's very dangerous. On top of that, what I mentioned, the 10 billion allotted for confidential and intelligence funds. Like just recently, if you've heard about Jed and Janila, they are two youth activists, women activists in the Philippines, and they were just recently abducted. And just because of the clamor of the people tirelessly looking for them, searching all military camps in the Philippines, they were resurfaced, but not easily. Now, they were paraded. They were initially paraded to be surrenderees. So that's a play straight from the playbook of the Philippine government. Now, they abduct activists. They torture you, force you to turn your back from progressive ideology, from your organizations, and make you say in front of the media that you were forced, that you were brainwashed by these organizations, that you are being harassed, etc., by the progressive organizations, essentially to provide black propaganda to against these orgs. No? So unlike the government did not expect it, but Jed and Janila, those two young ladies, they exposed the truth, no, in front of national television and exposed the government for what they have been actually doing, no, abducting the youth, torturing them, etc. So that's a major chunk of where the confidential funds go to, and that's why we're protesting that there should be no funds, that those funds should be abolished and instead be rechanneled into social services. So recently, in yung major chunk ng campaign for budget, that's a major aspect of our budget campaign. We have 10 days, less than 7 days to campaign for this, because Marcos government is not following anymore the usual protocols. Like, he has his own rules. He's bypassing all the usual norms and government policies and processes. Yeah, so that's at the core of it. And at the same time,
I'm not afraid to die. driver, pinapaligiran at nakapilang mga mamahaling sasakyan. Mga bantay na laging bulong ng bulong, wala namang kasal pero marami ang nakabarong. Lumakas man ang ulan ay walang butas ang bubong. Mga plato't kutsara na hindi kilala ang tutong. At ang kanin ay singkutin ang gatas na nasa kahonan. Kahit na hindi Pasko sa lamesa ay may hamonan. Sarap sigurong manirahan sa bahay na ganyan. Sabi pa nila ay dito muri matatagpuan ang tao na nagmamayari ng isang upuan. At pag may pagkakataho'y pinag-aagawan, kaya naman hindi niya pinakakawalan. Kung makikita ko lamang siya ay aking sisigawan. Alam nyo bang pantakal ng bigas namin ay di puno? Ang dingding ng bahay namin ay pinagtaglit at pinggero. Sa gabi ay sobrang init na tumutunaw ng yelo. Na di kayang bilhin mo pang ilagay sa inyong mil. Binakulong tubig sa lumang takuring uling-uling. Gamit ang panggatong na inanod lamang sa estero. Na nagsisilbing kusina sa umaga yaming banyo. Ang aking inay na may kayaman ang isang kaldero. Na nagagamit ang pagkang aking ama ay sumweldo. Pero kulang na kulang pa rin ulam na tuyot asin. Ang 50 pesos sa maghapoy pagkakasahin. Di ko alam kung talagang maraming harang o mataas lang ang bako doon. Nagbubulag-bulagan lamang po kayo. Kahit sa dami ng pera nyo, walang doktor na makapagpapalino ng mata nyo. Kaya
huwag kang masyadong halata. Bato
That was Upuan from Glock 9. How is the questionable budget process and bloating affecting the Filipino people?
In terms of the economic situation in the Philippines, just this month, though inflation has slowed down, the prices of basic goods and necessities remain to be very high. You know, for example, rice from 60 still reaches around 100 pesos, 70 to 100 pesos per kilo. No, if for context, the usual amount of price of rice was like 40. I even reached the point where rice was like 40 pesos. For it to reach 100 pesos now is very big. No, it's a very significant change in the lives of the Filipino people. And with the situation of the jobs and economy, people do not earn enough. They're barely making ends meet. No, and if you look into it, what Marcos Jr. is doing right now, instead of accommodating or even addressing calls for wage increase, what he's doing is he's going to other countries, like example European countries, to meet with capitalists, with governments, and parade the cheap labor of pool of labor of Filipino workers to work for their countries, primarily as domestic helpers and nurses, abroad work, service crew workers, like in fast food chains, etc. Like, just recent is he mentioned that he's already garnered around $300 million worth of investments, and there are no even hard copies to determine or to verify this. He just says that these were from the verbal commitments of those government officials that he talks to. Like, we do believe that he's not really, you know, working for the interests of the people. He's just selling the Filipino people.
Yeah.
That's why, thus, there's a more aggressive push for labor export policies, like from the school level up until, you know, you graduate. And for other sectors, like what I mentioned, there's an intense food crisis. Affected, everyone is really affected by this, the intense economic job loss crisis, unemployment, was also, I guess, major development sa ating national seat in our national situation is the upcoming transport strike. So there's this policy, this law that is forcing our jeepney drivers. That are forcing jeepney drivers out of their livelihoods. No. In March we held a strike. We were able to put a pause onto the implementation of the policy. For context, the policy or the jeepney phase out. The jeepney phase out program, basically they want jeepney operators to buy e-jeepneys that cost from 1 to 3 million pesos. So no one can afford them except for big capitalist corporations, most of which are in government already. So that benefits them a lot. So basically, it's a corporate takeover of the mass transport sector. That's why we took so long discussing with Julian, because he's also so passionate on the mass transport. So with that development, they promised last March that they will review the said policy. They said, okay, we'll listen to your calls. Your strike was effective. We were able to paralyze 90% of the region of Luzon. No one was able to commute because we were able to organize the jeepney drivers. They stood in the youth. Stood in solidarity with the jeepney drivers. We were at their terminals. We were holding discussions, film showing, and other activities. And the drivers also didn't... They also didn't...
Operate
the other jeepney drivers. So no one was able to come in unless you have your private cars. And then we did that for 3 days. And then the Marcos government was pressured and said, okay, we'll review, etc., etc.
How would you further describe the situation of the youth and students in the Philippines?
There's the education sector, for example, is facing major reforms. There's this thing we have called matatag curriculum, na they've altered the basic education curriculum from 12 subjects, like 7 to 12 subjects from grade 1 to 7, they removed all. No, they only retained language, science, math. And there's this new subject they made. It's called Makabansa. Na Makabansa is a fusion of 7 subjects. It's containing Filipino. So it's ironic because Filipino is not anymore a separate subject. Filipino, music, PE, health, and social sciences. They made it into one subject. That's the fourth. And then we have the last one, ethics. Our main analysis on the ethics is that if you look into the core of it, they advocate for peaceful, non-violent resolution of conflict. So it's an entry point to discussing and giving propaganda against dissent, criticism, revolution in the Philippines, activism, because what they're advocating for is that we should not go against government, we should not go against our families. That's what they term, that's the core of their ethics subject. No? So it's very crazy. It's a very major education reform, the matatag curriculum. They're targeting now the basic level education, while at the junior high students, they're now also reviewing the K-12 program. So the K-12 program is a program adopted by President Aquino's time for the Philippines to align its curriculum with the West. Before, we didn't have grade 7 to 12. We only had grade 1 to 7. And then first year to fourth year high school, and then college. But ever since the K-12 happened, now we have grades 1 to 12, and then first year, fourth year, then college. No, so with the promise that the K-12 will make you job ready, will make you more equipped, etc., make you